If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Buck Sexton, and you're listening to the Tudor Dixon Podcast, part of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. I want to encourage all of us to remember and honor the sacrifices that have been made by so many to protect and preserve the United States. Today is a special day. We remember those we lost as a result of the attacks on our country on September 11, 2001. That day, we lost 2,977 Americans. We hear so many stories of heroism from that day. The man in the red bandana, the volunteer, the off-duty firefighters who rushed to the scenes, and the neighbors and civilians who faced horror like we have never seen. Frank Siller has one of his own stories of heroism from that day. Frank is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which was started in remembrance of his little brother, Stephen, a New York City Fire Department firefighter who gave his life on 9/11. Before I bring Frank in with me, I want to first tell you about a great product that I have in my home called EnviroCleanse. When you think about the air in your home, ask yourself, if all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board our Navy ships? We use it in our house because one of my girls suffers from severe seasonal allergies. It's really changed her life. This season, this is the time when she starts to really get the swollen eyes, the headaches, the bloody noses. And this year, we haven't had any of that. I even asked her the other day, and she was like, no, Mom, it's been great. That's because EnviroCleanse uses patented earth mineral technology and a hospital-grade HEPA filter. This technology is so powerful, it destroys cold and flu viruses and COVID. I know you all want to hear that. And of course, those allergy inflaming toxins and mold and even more. Their hospital grade technology is so powerful. Like I said, it's used on Navy ships and thousands of classrooms. The EnviroCleanse promises far fewer colds and allergies, better sleep, and you're going to receive a free air quality monitor with your purchase. Honestly, test the difference in your home. It's been great for us. Visit ekpure.com. Use code Dixon for 10% off your EnviroCleanse air home purifier unit and free air quality monitor, plus fast free shipping. That's $150 savings. It's ekpure.com, code Dixon, ekpure.com, code Dixon. Now I want to welcome Frank Siller onto the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today on this day that, like I said before we got on here, all of us remember this day who lived through it. All of us remember the devastation and watching, for those of us who were there in person watching it happen, for those of us that were watching it on TV, we'll never forget. But for you, it's different. I'd never actually heard your story. I've seen you on TV a million times. I knew that you had lost your brother. I had not heard that you were going golfing that morning, that that was your plan.
Yes. Yeah, so 22 years ago today, my brother, Stephen, was just finished his night tour in Squad 1 in Brooklyn, which is an elite firehouse. They train for terrorism and they train to rescue other firefighters. And he just finished his tour. He was driving on his way home. He's going to play golf with myself, my brother George, and my brother Russ. And he heard on the radio scanner what, you know, the towers were hit. So, you know, what do these great heroes do? They turn around, they go. He went back to his firehouse. He got his gear. His fire company would already responded, you know, to the call, to duty. And so he got his gear and drove to the mouth of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. For your listeners who don't know, that tunnel connects Brooklyn with downtown Manhattan. It's almost 2 miles long. It was closed for security reasons. You know, people already banding their cars in there, and they didn't, weren't letting anyone go in towards the Manhattan, obviously, for obvious reasons. So he pulled over his truck, got out, put his 60 pounds of fire gear on his back, and ran through that tunnel up West Street to what we believe he ran into the South Tower, because that's where his other firefighter buddies were recovered later on. I'm sure he found out that he knew that that his firefighter guys that he trained with every day were in the South Tower. So that's where you'd want to go and rescue people and be around the people you train with every day. And while going up those stairs and saving others, he gave up his life. And when we heard the story of what my brother did that day, we didn't know that he died on 9/11 on 22 years ago. You know, when the South Tower came down, I felt inside that I did lose my brother at that point. I remember turning to my mother-in-law and saying, "Hey, Nancy, I think I just lost my brother."
Wow.
Not knowing that he got there. I had no idea, yeah. You know, that, you know, I kept on saying, well, maybe he couldn't get there. And or maybe the towers came down before he got there. You know, I was praying. You know, but to go back to that, you know, that day 22 years ago, and I'll just for your listeners to understand what all 9/11 families are going through that day. So I found out that my brother was on a list of missing firefighters, and I was going to different firehouses, and I actually was preparing to go to Ground Zero myself with a company out of Staten Island called Rescue 5. I know all these guys all my life, you know. So Staten Island's a really blue collar, you know, cops, firefighters, all that kind of stuff. But eventually I realized that they was so horrific. I had my siblings come over my house. So Stephen was the youngest of seven kids.
Oh, wow.
And he was a father of five. So I started having him come to my house. And later in the afternoon, a friend of my brother's, a firefighter, Richie Obermeyer, who actually lived two doors away from my brother on Staten Island, called me up and said, "Hey, Frank, this is Richie. You know, I'm down here at Ground Zero. I want you to know that Steven's on a list of missing firefighters." And I said, "Yeah, Richie, I knew that. Thank you for calling me. You know, I've been trying to call Steven, you know, trying to contact him." And he goes, "Well, he's on that list, and I want to let you know that it's really bad down here." And I said, "Yeah, Richie, I could see it's bad. I'm here with my family. My sisters are here. My brothers are here. You know, I could see how bad it is." He goes, "No, Frank, it's bad." I said, "Rich, I'm looking at it. I see it's bad." He goes, "No, you don't understand. Nobody's coming home." And I had to get off the phone and tell my sisters and my brothers that. And, it really brought us to our knees. My sister Gina was wailing. And we were devastated. And, you know, we didn't know 100% he was gone at that point. But like I mentioned to you before, I felt he was gone, knowing that he had gotten there. And so it was a terrible day. But there were so many acts of heroism. I heard you talk about the man in the red bandana on your intro. And that Wells Crowther, you know, I know his mom. You know, I spoke to her. If you go to our website, we have his story up there, because there were so many acts of heroism that some are told, some untold, that, you know, the people will never know about it. And so today we're remembering all 2,977 souls that were killed, taken from us on that day.
The people who were going in that day, like your brother, Stephen, when they got that call, when they heard that, I mean, I remember I was working in Chicago at the time, and I took a train to a bus to my building, and I get off and I go up to my building, and there were just cops surrounding, and they're like, "You can't come in here. We've secured it. You're leaving. Go home." And I remember thinking, the heck? what are you talking about? You know, because you didn't have smartphones. You didn't know everything.
No.
It wasn't, the detail wasn't right in front of you. And even getting on that bus and them turning on the radio and hearing the tower has fallen, my mind could not comprehend what that meant. You know, you don't see it. You're hearing it. What did those people think that they were going to? When your brother rushed off, what did they think compared to what they saw?
I know exactly what they thought they were going to. And I know this because I've spoken to so many firefighters that survived that day. And I have accounts of them saying goodbye, not I'll see you later. When they were going in those buildings, and you have to know this, and America should never forget this, that those firefighters knew there was a strong possibility that that was the last moments they were going to live. So did they know that? Well, my brother know that when he was running through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel with his fire gear on his back? You know, when he made that decision? No. Did he know when he went up to West Street and then when he finally got to the towers? Yes, no doubt about it. Because at that point, people were already, imagine faced with this choice, the people above the fire line. And I have to say this because it's a reality check for everybody. The people above the fire line, which my heart breaks for, they were faced with two choices, to burn or to jump. And it was so sad to watch. And if you're there, these firefighters that were there on the ground were seeing this happening at this point. They knew it was hell on earth at that moment. But they brought such grace and courage and heroism to that day. I look at that day as one of the greatest acts of love ever, that all those firefighters and police officers and everyday people like Wells Crowther, the man in the red bandana, and so many other stories, that they went in there to save people, knowing there's a strong possibility they were going to give up their lives. And so many of them did. So to answer your question, yeah, they knew what they were getting into.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we see those pictures like the falling man. And it's interesting now because, you know, my kids, they didn't live through this. And we were there. My sister was in New York City and we were watching all of this happen. And it's just so exactly what you said. So powerful to think that they faced a decision and they chose that because the other was so horrific, knowing that there was no way out. But I think we also see those pictures of like the woman who was covered in dust walking down downtown, just kind of aimlessly walking. And I remember my sister saying that that happened all day long. She just saw people walking from Ground Zero up north in Manhattan, just kind of aimlessly with their briefcase covered in that dust. She was an attorney. She went back and she was doing pro bono work, getting people signed in and getting information from people. And she said, I can remember at the time sitting down at Ground Zero. And she said, from the time it took me to fill out one person's form, I would have to push all the dust off and move to the next form because even weeks after, sure, the dust was falling. A lot of people have been sick since then, and you support those people as well, because a lot of these people have gone through, these people that were heroes and just people that lived down there. I mean, we really didn't know what the impact of this was. We'd never experienced anything like this in the history of the country before. What is it like for those people now? And how do you support those people that have gotten this illness, that is kind of this mysterious illness that they've, many people have been sick in different ways from 9/11?
Well, so once again, for your listeners to know that Tunnel to Towers Foundation, who I'm proud to say I'm the CEO, chairman of, takes care of every cop, every firefighter, every first responder in America who dies in the line of duty, has young children left behind. We're going to deliver them a mortgage-free home. If they don't have a home, we're going to find them a home. And if they do have a home, and most of them do, we're going to pay off their mortgage. We do that for Gold Star widows. And we build specially adapted smart homes for our country's most catastrophically injured service members. But after 9/11, so many of these great heroes that were on that freaking pile looking for their brothers and their loved ones, or you know, just everybody who was missing, because over you know, there was 2,977, as I mentioned before, people who died that day. There was almost, I think it's 1,200 plus that were never recovered. They were there trying to find them. The police officers, firefighters, people came from all over the United States. Your sister was there. Your sister had that dust coming on them, and they were all told not to worry about it. Well, let me tell you, there's over the 338th firefighter who died of 9/11 illnesses just died the other day. There's been over 300 police officers who have died of 9/11 illnesses. And if they have a young family left behind, because we're a first responders foundation, we're going to take care of their families. We're going to pay off their mortgages. I have a friend of mine who I just visited just the other day, Ace Canlin, Mike Canlin, but he was Ace to me growing up. We've been friends for 64 years, right? Since we've been 6 years old, first grade. And his job, he worked for Otis Elevator. His job was to go in after 9/11 and clean out the soot inside the elevator's shafts. And now he wore all the apparatuses and everything, but it doesn't matter. Just like we know masks doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for other things like COVID.
Right.
And he wore the, you know, he's dying. He's moments away from dying of 9/11 cancer. Because of what he inhaled and what has gone through his body. it just keeps on taking so many people. It's the terrorist attack that keeps on killing. I know those who did this are smiling when that happens. And that's what we have to remember what we're up against always, that they would love to do this again. They would love to, instead of killing, they'd love as many zeros after that number that we gave, 2,977. If they put another zero on that, they would have been happier, and another zero, they'd even been more happy. So this is what we're up against. And that's why we can't forget. We just can never forget that we are always going to be under assault, and we have to always protect our country. One last point here on that. Since 9/11, over 7,000 men and women have died protecting us, so we didn't have to have another 9/11. And so many bad things have happened, obviously, in Afghanistan, the withdrawal, all that kind of stuff. Sickens me. And all those families had to see that, that they lost their loved ones, and this is how you're going to come out of there and end all the good work that we were doing there. But we got to remember those families that are left behind too, because they're part of all part of 9/11, because we wouldn't have gone to war if it wasn't for 9/11. And that's why our foundation takes care of all these Gold Star families that have given their lives, their loved ones given their lives for our country, and have young families. And a lot of them don't have houses because they move from base to base or whatever, you know, may be in them when they're military. And that's why we build them, you know, a Gold Star, a widow and their children, a mortgage-free home. And we're so proud of the work that we're doing. But we're connected with our military because of what happened on 9/11. First responders, the same mentality anyway. You know, the courage, the heroism is incredible.
You have so much support. You say, I mean, you're passionate about this stuff, and you're passionate about the mistakes that were made in Afghanistan. You've come out and you've been very open about how you feel about this stuff. After 9/11, there was like this great uniting in the country. Like we've really not seen in decades. The country came together. There were people that were just pro-America, whatever it is, we're going to support America. And I think that when it comes to Tunnel to Towers, you still see that. You've raised over $500 million to support heroes and their families. And that isn't coming from just one side. That comes from, I mean, I've seen you with celebrities. I've seen you with all kinds of people from different backgrounds who are just like, look, this is what we do. We support our heroes. How do you keep that going? How, in this world that seems so divided right now, how do you keep that going? I love it. But what is that magic that you can keep that going?
Well, it's great that you mentioned that, because I got to tell you, I am around great Americans all the time. I am so blessed. It's incredible. And they come to us. You mentioned some of the celebrities, you know, like Mark Wahlberg, Cole Hauser, Rob Lowe, Dennis Quaid, you know, it's incredible. They come to us because they want to help. And they believe in our mission. And you know why they believe in our mission? It's very simple. Who couldn't believe and take care of these great families that are left behind? I think almost every American would believe in that. I mean, there's some crazies out there that, you know, that think America is terrible. You know, shame on them. I mean, meanwhile, they live.
They have no idea.
They take advantage of everything that these our freedoms are given to us because of these men and women who put it all on the line for us every single day. But that's the beauty of America. But yes, I'm around it all the time. And, you know, so people do what they can do. We ask everybody to do $11 a month. I mean, most people can do that. And they know that 95.1% of every dollar that they donate goes to our, you know, to our programs.
I think that's important, because I think most people don't know that sometimes you can give money and that money, you're just giving a small portion of that money. But you're talking about 95 cents on every dollar is actually going to these families, going to the mission.
Right. It's not going in my pocket. That's for sure. I don't get paid. I'm proud of that. I'm a volunteer. I have tens and tens of thousands of volunteers all across America. We have, I think, 100 golf outings put on for us this year. David Wells, he was a pitcher for the Yankees. And Wally Joyner, a baseball player who's like almost like a Hall of Famer, played for 19 years. These guys are putting on these celebrity golf outings or different golf outings for us and raising so much money. But we have over 100 golf outings. We have over nearly 100 runs and climbs all over the United States that people can emulate what my brother did that day and what so many other heroes did that day. But we have 3,000 events. 3,000 events for people at dinner or, you know, some kind of a small fundraiser. I love the little kids that come. I can't tell you how many times I see a 10-year-old kid or a 15-year-old kid or whatever that did a fundraiser and gives us a check for $600 or $1,100. It means so much to me. And one of the reasons why I'm so proud that we have the 9/11 Institute on our website, you go to T2T again, and just you'll see we have kids for classes for kids K through 12 a curriculum that you could just press a button and it prints out what you can teach your class. We have teachers that download it every single day.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This year, my daughter had her 8th grade field trip to Washington, D.C. We went and saw the 9/11 memorial there at the Pentagon. It was fascinating to see these 7th and 8th graders who did not live through this. They were really curious about it. They were looking at all the names. They were talking about how did the plane come in. We went from there a few months later I took her to New York City. And we went down to Ground Zero, and she looked at me and she said, "Mom, now I saw what happened in D.C. and I've seen what happened here, but it's still really hard to understand." You have this mobile exhibit. How does that work? How do you talk to young kids about this? Because I just think it's the never forget message. You know, we will never forget, but how do we educate so that they know?
It's not easy. But it's parents like you that make it happen. So that's beautiful that you did both those things, go down to the Pentagon and then, of course, the Ground Zero. And you should know, for the 20th anniversary, 2 years ago today, I finished my walk to honor my brother. I walked from the Pentagon to Shanksville, where Flight 93 went down, to Ground Zero. 15 miles a day for 6 weeks, 552 miles. And I came into Ground Zero on this day 2 years ago and walked to Ground Zero. And it's all because first I wanted to honor my brother, you know, and I didn't know how to do it in a proper way. And I figured that would be something special. And it was very spiritual for me. I can't even tell you how spiritual it was walking every day. And I had hundreds and sometimes thousands of people walk with me, you know, at different times and different
days.
That
is so cool.
It was so beautiful. I cannot even, I tell you, it wasn't even hard. It wasn't hard. I trained, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty old. I'm 70 years old. But I trained, and I think it made it easier. But I think the real reason why it was easy, because I tell you, my brother was with me. The Holy Spirit was with me. And I just felt like I was, I can't explain to you, going up a mountain. I climbed up a mountain one day with a double amputee. And he had his shorty prosthetics on, and 3 hours straight up a mountain, 3 hours straight. And he didn't complain. So I sure as heck was never going to complain. you know, and I saw him do that. And, you know, I'm sweating. And, you know, of course, he was sweating too. But because we did it, I did it in the middle of the summer. But it was glorious. But yes, we have to make sure we never forget. And that's why we have the 9/11 Institute, where you could download these, you know, the curriculums and for the age appropriate. And that's why we have a mobile exhibit that goes all over the United States. It's on tractor trail. It's 93-foot tractor trail, and it opens up to 1,100 square foot museum with 9/11 artifacts. And who's manning that? My 9/11 buddy, my firefighter buddies who lived that day. We have over 200, a speakers bureau. If somebody wanted somebody to come to speak at an event, because I love going to them, but I can't go to 1,000 events on the course of a year, or 5,000 events. So we have a speakers bureau. We have hundreds and hundreds of people who lived through that day of 9/11 that wanted to go anywhere and speak about it. It's you can't forget what happened. It's our first responsibility at Tunnel to Towers Foundation is to never forget and honor the sacrifice. And
you brought something up about stair climbs. These folks, that there's these events, and I've been to one of these events where you climb the number of stairs that those firefighters climb that day, and you go to these events and there's firemen there in full gear doing this in honor of their brothers who went out that day and did this and lost their lives. I think it's so valuable to go do this yourself. And to, I mean, like you said, the walk was so spiritual for you to go do this. And you'll find one in your town, I'm sure. They're all over. I mean, people are doing this to honor these folks, but honestly, it's to understand. It's more than just to honor. It's to live it and feel it and know what it was like. And you're doing it under no pressure. They're doing it as this building is falling, crumbling around them.
Yes.
I mean, you think about that. You see these firefighters, they're silent. They're not saying anything. They are just in the zone of, I'm going to honor these guys. It's pretty amazing.
It's emotional. If you're there, it's emotional. You do it with them. It's incredible. You know, we have our marquee event every year is our Tunnel to Towers run, which is a couple weeks away. It's the last Sunday in September, September 24th. And, you know, we retrace what my brother did. We go run through the tunnel, and we have thousands of firefighters who come from all over the country. Matter of fact, we have 30 countries that are represented, and we have 150 London firefighters that come every year.
Wow.
Yeah, but what my point is that we bring all these people again. Once again, make sure we honor the sacrifice and never forget. But you run through the tunnel with these. We have 2,500 West Point cadets that run in cadence. They chant through the tunnel. If you're in that tunnel, it is the most patriotic event that you could be in America. Period, bar none. And it was voted that. Some magazine voted it once, you know, a while ago. But it's true. And then you come out of that tunnel. We have the pictures of all every firefighter and every police officer that died that day, held by other firefighters and cops.
Oh, wow.
But their face, shoulder to shoulder. You put all them, 343 firefighters together holding that banner. You'll see how long that line is. And then the police officers and Port Authority police officers and rescue workers. And then we have the pictures of all the 7,000 plus men and women who died on the global war on terror. They're holding the pictures by ROTC and other military members. It's almost a mile long of all these great people that have paid such a sacrifice for you and for me. And I challenge anybody to come do it 1 year. Come do it 1 year. It is the most uplifting, emotional, and then we celebrate their lives with a big celebration on the block, right facing Ground Zero. We cook. I have all my firefighter buddies cook for 30 or 40,000 people we're cooking for. I call it the miracles of the loaves and fishes because these guys make sure that they feed everybody. And we have, like this year, we have Lady Antebellum, Lady A, singing for us. Last year at Derek Spentley, we have a great celebration on the block because these guys were the most, and women were the most outrageous people ever, and they wouldn't want us to stay sad.
Isn't it so? I mean, think about that, though. You take the worst terror attack on this nation ever. Isn't it so American that we would come out and we would say, look, you are not going to hold us down. We were always, every year, we're going to come together and we're going to say, we are stronger than this. We are stronger than terror.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, goodness always defeats evil. You read it in the Bible, but it is true. And that's what we do here. And that's why our whole thing about Tunnel to Towers Foundation is the St. Francis of Assisi. My parents are very religious and they were, they died when my brother was real young. He was 8 and a half years old when my dad died, and a year later, my mom died.
Oh, wow.
So we raised my youngest brother, Stephen, his oldest siblings. I said he's the youngest of seven, but we were a lot older. I was closest in age. I was 14 years older than Stephen. My brother, Russ, God rest his soul, passed recently, was 25 years older than him. So we were able to take that orphan baby kid and raise him. But say my parents were Franciscans and they gave us great faith and teaching to live a simple life. Although this foundation is not so simple anymore. but St. Francis of Assisi said this, brothers and sisters, while we have time, let us do good. While we're here, let us do good because we're running out of time every single day. So while you have time, don't postpone it. Do good. And we remember everybody, we celebrate their lives, but the good that we're doing as a foundation to take care of these families that, like I said before, are willing to risk their lives for you and me, and all too often do, come on, as Americans, come on, let's all get together. You say, how do we keep this going? I have no doubt the Tunnel to Towers Foundation will be around forever. The need will always be there. There'll always be a firefighter or a police officer giving their life. There always will be. Sad to say, there will always be conflicts around the world where America will stand up and take care of the world like we always have. So we'll always have guys coming back, losing their limbs, and they'll need smart homes. All these things that we're doing will always be needs. So the foundation, I have no doubt, I know for 100%, will be here forever because the need will always be there. But let's all just come together and make this promise that we'll take care of these families that are left behind. And I think that's what we should do.
It's time for us all to do good. And Frank Siller, you've really done good. And your brother, Stephen, what an amazing guy. I mean, his story is the reason that we want to support people who take care of us. His story is the story of everybody who has an emergency and needs that person. And we all need Stephen running through that tower for us. And Tunnel to Towers allows us to continue to support those families that have people running through tunnels to save us. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you today. And I just ask all of our listeners today, take some time to think about those heroes today. thank a veteran, thank the people that help you every day. Go to t2t.org and put that money in, that monthly gift, to make sure that we can continue to thank our heroes. Thank you, Frank Seller.
Thank you. God bless.
And thank you all for joining me today on this day that we will never forget on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Thank you for this episode and others. Go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, I want you to tell everybody you can today to remember our heroes and never forget 9/11. Have a blessed day. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.